I went to the grocery store the other day to pick up a few things, and I stopped by the deli first to get some luncheon meat. And I said to the lady behind the counter, "I'd like to have a half pound of ham, please." To which she asked me, "Which kind?" I thought she was joking, so I said, "The kind you get from a pig." And she was not amused, and she said, "No, I mean, which type of ham? Do you want tavern ham, or Virginia ham, or baked ham, or spiced ham, or honey-baked ham, or boiled ham, or country ham?" Well, since I didn't have the slightest idea what the difference was between all those choices, and I didn't want to take the time to find out, I employed a shopping technique I have observed others using on more than one occasion, and I asked, "What's on special?" "Tavern ham," she proclaimed. "Then I'll take a half pound of tavern ham and a quarter pound of pastrami." "Which kind?" I won't be getting luncheon meat for a while. So, two facts of life. One fact, life is full of choices. Fact two, human beings aren't always very good at choosing. Sometimes we make wrong choices or faulty decisions. Either way, we don't have enough information before we make up our minds about something, or we let pride or greed or selfish interests sway us. Or sometimes we just don't put a lot of thought and energy into the decision we make. Samuel Clemens has Huckleberry Finn say, "Since it is difficult to know what's right and what's wrong, I decided not to bother about it anymore, but just do whichever comes handiest at the time." And in my humble opinion, most politicians are elected this way. Other times, we find making the right decision too difficult and, if possible, avoid making any decision at all. Joseph Henry, founder of the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C., tells of a time when he was a boy, and this was many, many years ago, and his grandmother offered to have a pair of shoes made for him. He lived in the era before shoe stores. And so he went to a shoe cobbler who measured his feet and was given a choice of just two styles, square-toed or round-toed. Well, he couldn't decide, and so the cobbler went ahead and started on the basic construction of the shoes and let Joseph have a couple days to make up his mind. Well, Joseph Henry made about a half a dozen trips back to that little shoe shop over the next couple of days, and he still couldn't decide. And on his last visit, the cobbler had a surprise for him. The shoes were finished. He handed over the finished shoes to the boy, and Henry noticed that one shoe had a round toe and the other had a square. Many years later, Joseph Henry remarked, "I had to wear those monuments to indecision for a long time, and they taught me as nothing else could, the penalty one must pay for indecisiveness. When you don't make up your mind between two choices, sometimes someone else will make that third choice for you." Well, I think that's frequently true. But of all the choices and decisions which we are called to make in life, how much time and energy, I wonder, have you and I given to our decision to follow Jesus Christ? Or perhaps you feel that decision was made for you. If you were raised a Presbyterian or Methodist or Lutheran or Catholic or an Episcopalian, then you were probably baptized into Christ's church in infancy, and later as a young teen, you may have confirmed that faith in which your parents raised you as now being your own faith. But did you fully understand what you were getting into? And have you given your relationship to God in Christ much thought since that time? I wonder sometimes if most Christians do give a regular checkup to their decision to be a disciple of Christ. It's done, it's a done deal, more or less. Time to move on to other decisions. We go to church and pray and try to do good toward our neighbor. Our relationship to Christ is pretty much on autopilot now. Well, I want to declare to you this morning that choosing Christ as your Lord and Savior is not a one-time selection. Choosing Christ is a daily decision to be made. In everything we do and say, there is an opportunity to choose Christ. And if we miss the opportunity, we may miss the powerful presence of Christ in our lives. Consider for a moment our Old Testament lesson this morning, which was part of the story about when the wandering Israelites finally arrived and took possession of the land God had promised to them. And these Israelites had spent generations in Egypt and other places where many gods were worshipped by the native people. And so before they began to settle down into the land of Canaan, their leader, Joshua, decided he had better make sure that these Israelites took some time to reflect upon how they had gotten to this point in their lives. And so he gathered them all around him and he said, "Now is the time to put away the gods of other lands and serve the Lord in sincerity and faithfulness." And then he told them, if they could not serve the Lord, then choose the gods they would serve. And then he said what has become one of the most famous lines in all Scripture, and I've even seen it on little plaques on doors of homes, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And then, as we read, the people responded, "We will serve the Lord also, because we know it was He who brought us out of the land of Egypt to this land." It was nothing less than a point of decision for those people of God. They were not recent converts to the faith. They had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and had encountered the mighty acts of God through Moses and Aaron and Miriam. They had been given the Ten Commandments and had made covenant with God to once again be God's people. And for that reason, God had brought them to the Promised Land. They knew the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and yet here they were one more time making a conscious decision to be servants of the one true God. Why? Because choosing the Lord must be affirmed and reaffirmed at every opportunity. Unless it is affirmed and reaffirmed at every opportunity, it is a decision which is always in danger of being set aside, deferred, and even rescinded. The danger is very real when we find ourselves in the midst of great personal turmoil and pain. You see, it's not hard being a Christian when everything is just going along fine. No worries. Life is not great, but life is not bad. The routine of life is in its place. Work, family, play, and even religion are all set nicely in their respective compartments of life. No problems. Sure, I'm a Christian. Nothing to it. But at those times, when one's life is turned upside down, and we recall that we made a commitment to God in Christ at some point in our past, and wonder now why Christ doesn't seem to be with us now when we need Him most, it never occurs to us that Christ didn't leave us, we left Christ. Back there, somewhere in time, when we first chose to follow Him and then moved on to make other more pressing decisions. In not deciding every day of our lives to follow Christ, we are deciding not to follow Christ. Because following Christ is a daily decision, and when we don't consciously and continually seek to understand and experience for ourselves who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ does in our lives, then we may find ourselves pulling away from His holy presence, rejecting the very one who is the Savior of the world in search of other seemingly more reliable gods, most, if not all of which, are of our own making. That's what happened on that day when Jesus began to tell His disciples, and at that point there were more than 12, exactly who He was for them, which they found difficult to accept. Why? Because He was talking about Himself as being like bread from heaven, and that His followers must eat of Him and drink His blood. And many of His followers said, "Hey, wait a minute. This man is insane." Jesus was not saying what they thought they needed to hear. Jesus was not with them in the way they thought they needed Him. And our New Testament lesson says that many of His disciples drew back and no longer went about with Him. But then Jesus asked the 12 if they wanted to leave Him too. And Peter answered for them all when he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed, and we have come to know that You are the Holy One of God." The thing that set these 12, soon to be 11, by the way, disciples, apart from the rest, was the fact that they realized that even in the most difficult of times, there is no other Savior but Christ the Lord. And so they chose to stay by His side, a conscious, deliberate decision well into their association with Him. And yet it was a decision they would be called to make time and time again. And that's what it takes, my friends, to maintain a healthy, vibrant, and growing relationship to God and Jesus Christ. Continual rededication and decision making. Remember that haunting poem, "The Road Not Traveled" by Robert Frost. "Two roads diverge in a yellow wood, and sorry that I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far I could to where it bent in the undergrowth and took the other." And then he concludes, "I shall be telling this with a sigh. Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in the wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." In a world in which there are so many gods to choose from, most of our own making, God in Jesus Christ is for us that road less traveled, which makes all the difference. As we come this day to this table, we have opportunity yet again to rededicate our lives as we partake of the elements of the Lord's Supper, which not only reminds us of who Christ is for us and what Christ did for us, but once again makes Christ available in real ways to us. You have come this day for a homecoming. And the homecoming involves this beautiful church located in a beautiful part of the Shenandoah Valley. But I would offer to you that there is opportunity here for another kind of homecoming. A coming home once again to Christ. Here before you now stands an opportunity to choose Christ yet again, to be your Lord and Savior. And so I encourage you, don't let it pass. Recommit yourself to the Holy One of God. Recommit yourself again today, tomorrow, and every single day for the rest of your life.